Hello and welcome to the CSTW Broadcasts. I'm Doug Dangler. Today my guest is Kelly Trinosky, an award-winning television and documentary writer and producer who has worked for CNN, Turner Classic Movies, and Connect with Kids TV Network. She's reviewed young adult books for the Columbus Dispatch and now teaches creative writing courses in the Columbus area for young adults aged 12 to 20 years old. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
Her current endeavor, in conjunction with the Thurber House, is launching Flip the Page, a teen literary magazine. So tell me about this new magazine.
Well, we're currently accepting submissions for the magazine, and it's going to publish in May. And I got a grant from the Ohio Arts Council to do this project with Thurber House because we felt there was a need for teens in the area to be published and to start their publishing journey, I guess you could say. So we came up with this idea. Thurber House has really always wanted to be able to do a journal, especially for the teenage group that they serve. Mm-hmm. And so we got this grant, and part of the project also was we've just got done in the month of March offering 5 free writing workshops for teens around Columbus. So we're trying to reach teens that maybe have never heard of Thurber House, that don't come to the Young Writer Studio at Thurber House, which is a workshop for teenagers. And so we went to libraries, we worked with Transit Arts, went to Central Community House, and worked with some writers that, really are interested in writing but wanted some help just kind of polishing and improving. So that was kind of one part of the project. And then the second part, of course, is debuting this literary magazine. And it's going to be probably 32 to 42 pages. It's going to have poetry, fiction, artwork, essays, opinion pieces, mm-hmm. and that's going to be really cool.
Okay. Are you basing this on a model you've seen elsewhere, or are you just sort of making it whole cloth?
Loosely kind of an inspiration. There's the Chicago Authors Guild has a publication called Say What. It's a beautiful publication. I think they do it once a year. And that was kind of the inspiration, but it's very produced. They have a lot of money, a lot of production. They take submissions from around the country. That was kind of the starting point, but this is going to be a little simpler in scope, especially mm-hmm. since it's the first, mm-hmm. the first publication. But we do want it to be, very cool looking, very hip looking, very, agreeable to teenagers. So it's going to have a cool cover. We have a teen committee that I'm working with to help me kind of make some of these decisions and name the journal and advertise, et cetera. So.
Okay. And you had talked about the genres that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Are there subject matters you're particularly interested in that are particularly aimed at teens, or that's just going to grow organically, you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, we wanted it to be more organic. We didn't want to give a topic such as, peace, which is, of course, a worthy topic. But because we thought, a lot of teens would say, oh, I don't have anything on peace, I can't submit. So we wanted to keep it really open mm-hmm. because I think it'll just really add a nice texture and a nice, interesting mixture because, the teens that I work with come from all different places. They come from different places in their writing. And it's just amazing how much and, how deep their breadth of their writing is. So I think it's going to be really fun because it's not going to be so focused.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your aims are to get kids away from Nintendo and into reading. Tell me how you're seeing that as working out. What are your hopes for how you get the students involved? You've already got the people that are helping you work on the magazine, mm-hmm. the board. What else are you kinds of investment are you looking for from the teens?
For this first edition of Flip the Page, like I said, we have a teen committee and they are helping with every aspect of putting this together, which is going to be a great learning experience for them. As far as the other teens, like I said, I think it's really important for teens today that are writing to know that you're not going to write a book and become, a famous like Stephanie Myers. That's, a 1 in a million, if not a 1 in 10 million chance. Mm-hmm. So what I'm kind of stressing with a lot of these teens is that publishing is a journey, being a writer is a journey, and these, you know, these small publications along the way, the start is so important and to be celebrated. So I feel like by kind of walking them through this process, especially with the workshops, going to them, you know, working with them, perfecting a piece, going through the submission process, and, you know, maybe I hope for many of them it ends in publication, is a very unique experience. And instead of just, you know, blindly sending it into a journal or, you know, sending it to an online publication. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more, you know, unique and personal. Okay. So I'm hoping to inspire them to, you know, think about putting their writing out more than just sharing it with friends and family, you know, really just starting to think about putting it out in the world, because what they're doing is really amazing and inspiring, mm-hmm. and just very creative.
Okay. Are you partnering with area schools on that? Is that something that you've got in the plans?
Yeah, the workshops were mainly through the libraries, and they helped, the youth librarians helped, you know, get us the registration and get the kids, you know, and then the Transit Arts was really by invitation for a lot of their young artists that they mm-hmm. work with.
What is Transit Arts?
Transit Arts is an arts organization here in Columbus that works with area youth with visual arts, writing. And what's really neat about Transit Arts is they also have receptions for the young artists so they can mm-hmm. showcase their work. And it's a wonderful organization locally for kids, you know, to get involved in the arts and okay. to create art. It's not just, you know, to look at art, but to create art.
Okay. And it's probably having a lot to do with you getting the word out about it. How have you been working with, say, we talked about working with area schools, but are there mm-hmm. other places that people can get information about this journal?
Absolutely. Thurber House, www.thurberhouse.org. We're mm-hmm. on their website, but also we're on Facebook. The teens themselves are spreading the word. They are doing announcements on their news show. Mm-hmm. They are putting it in their school newspapers. Because, you know, it is teen-driven as well. I felt like it would be more organic and natural if the teens did some of the advertising mm-hmm. to, you know, outreach to how they communicate with one another.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Facebook, and I'd like to follow up on that because I'm curious about having a literary magazine associated with Facebook. I mean, Facebook is often one of the social media tools that's derided as leading to the end of civilization as we know it, and maybe a literary civilization as we know it, mm-hmm. as some would have it. Tell me about how your views on Facebook are working with or against the literary tradition.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we mm-hmm. actually, you know, one thing I'm trying to do is from everyone who sends me a submission, how did you hear about us, you know, mm-hmm. and up to this point, most of them have come from librarians or teachers or friends. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Facebook is I don't, you know, we're not going to be publishing anything on Facebook. We would never do that because that's pretty risky. You know, we wouldn't even do an excerpt or anything of any writing. But I think it's, you know, for kids that are looking for outlets and that are writing mm-hmm. and want to get their work out, I would hope they would find us on, you know, they would see us, flip the page, oh, in Columbus, Ohio, I live in Columbus, or mm-hmm. I think I've heard about this. And they would, you know, then we've directed them to the website at Thurber House to get more information. Okay. So I don't see it as so much competing with the literary magazine. It's just trying to find every avenue you can to get the word out mm-hmm. to teenagers. And that's very much a medium. They're all on it. They all use it and interface. So it just seemed like a natural right. place to go.
You said it's risky to have it on Facebook. Why do you see it as risky?
Well, because I know of a very personal story of a student, a high school student, who's posted some of their writing. And unfortunately, it was taken, and I don't know exactly where it was posted, but it was posted somewhere online.
No copyright infringement?
It was stolen, and someone in New York entered it in some contests and won. So, you know, I tell my students, you know, if you're going to submit anything online to an online publication, you got to do some research to make sure it's reputable. And I do not encourage them to post their writing on Facebook mm-hmm. or any of the social networking sites. Okay. It's just risky. It's putting your work out there in a possibly unsafe place.
Okay. Now, you've published yourself, or you're writing yourself, a young mm-hmm. adult novel.
I am.
Tell me about this young adult novel.
Well, it's been 8 years in the making. And okay. So it's a...
Like a fine wine.
Exactly. And it's, you know, I have three kids, so it's just keeps kind of getting put to the back burner. And mm-hmm. I like to work on smaller projects and get small things published, so I feel like I'm still moving in the right direction. But it is a story. It's called Guitar Strings and Broken Things. And it started from a short story that I wrote many years ago. And when I first became interested in the craft of guitar repair, which if you're a guitar repair person, you're called a luthier. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting craft. And I'm interested in things, you know, like writing as a craft, mm-hmm. and, you know, woodworking as a craft. And I personally find it very interesting, and the whole process of, you know, fixing guitars, fixing instruments, the technology, the hands-on stuff. So I met some some people that were in this school down in Atlanta to repair guitars, and I just became fascinated with it. And I met some of the musicians that had come from all over the country to learn this craft, and a short story came out of that. And then as I started to read a lot of young adult, and it was kind of an emerging area of literature 5 to 10 years ago. It's pretty saturated now, but it's an area of literature for teenagers that's giving them a lot more titles, a lot more opportunities to read, a lot of interesting literature, and it's actually growing, mm-hmm. which as opposed to the adult market that is slowing a little bit. So anyways, I wrote a short story, and then just some more characters kind of came into my head, and I decided to turn it into a novel. So at this point, it's completed, and I've workshopped it. I've gone to some writing workshops, fiction workshops, and at universities, and just kind of keep my craft. And I'm in a writer's group, and we've workshopped the entire novel. And I just wasn't, you know, I know it's like the first kind of pass, and I know that I want to improve, and I've gotten some new ideas. So I'm kind of in the revision process at this point with that novel. And then, of course, I've started another one, and mm-hmm. I have a picture book that I'm shopping around as well. Because I'm very interested in children's literature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I would like to do now is do some short answers about your views about being a writer. Mm-hmm. So these are short questions. The answers can be short or longer. I'm not going to yell.
Okay. You're not going to interrupt.
I'm not going to interrupt generally, okay. You know, unless I really, really disagree with your view on your personal view of being a writer. And then I'll say, no, you don't. You don't get up in the morning and write.
That's I don't.
Not true.
I can't tell you that. No,
I knew all about that.
Mm-mm.
What is for you the best part about being a writer?
One of my students, I'm her advisor for her senior project. She's writing a novel, and I had to answer these questions recently, so this is good. So because I've already had to think about this. The best part about being a writer is to be able to play with words and language in a fun way. And for me, about being a writer, is I get very attached to my characters. And so it's almost like having an imaginary world to have amidst the stress of a daily life, raising kids, having a family, all the minutia that you get kind of wrapped mm-hmm. up in. So for me, my characters have this life in my head, and they have a whole, you know, I can give them attributes that I don't have, or I can give them things that I'm struggling with and work through it with them. So I get very attached to my characters. I get very excited about my characters. And it gives me something to have, you know, personally, when I have all these other things pulling on me and to accomplish and to do. Writing is mine. And it's kind of, you know, my craft. And I love having a craft. I love having something in my life that I'm trying to get better at, that I'm trying to mm-hmm. improve. And I just love language. I love reading. I'm a voracious reader. I always have been. And, you know, words on the page excite me. And creating something excites me. And as I continue on my journey as a writer, I love what comes when you know it's the writing's where it needs to be. Or you're at your last draft. I just finished an essay that I'm submitting to an anthology, and I worked with it and worked with it and revised. And finally, I was able to step back and go, this is where it needs to be. This is done. Mm-hmm. And that's a rare thing to say as a writer. Sometimes I don't know when to stop. When I worked in television, you have deadlines, and you have things that need to be written and completed, and then they're gone. With this novel, it's definitely a process.
The old adage, no one ever is finished with writing, you just run out of time.
Yes, definitely.
So,
yeah.
Okay. What's the worst part about being a writer?
You can't always be on. You can't. The inspiration for me, you know, I was asked, how do you push through writer's block? And that's definitely been something I've struggled with. You know, it's just, especially with a novel, a longer piece, it's hard to stay with it. It's hard to keep pushing through. And probably that's why I'm not further along, that and time constraints. I'm not someone who's going to get up at 5 a.m. so I can have 2 hours of writing before my kids get up. It's just not realistic. So it's frustrating to not be further, you know, into it and not have the time to give to it. And it's also frustrating when the words just aren't coming, the inspiration's just not coming. And I have to force myself to do maybe a timed writing, you know, okay, I'm gonna write for an hour and we'll see what happens. Or, you know, get 2 pages, you know, and just to work through that frustration.
Okay. What's the best writing job you've had? Your favorite, or define best as you'd like?
I really enjoyed when I was a writer-producer for Turner Classic Movies. I was in the on-air promotions department and kind of took the job not really knowing, like, you know, I'd been more in documentary and news-driven writing, but it was the best surprise because I was doing, it's a commercial-free network, so they don't have any commercials. So my job was to promote original programming or, you know, Star of the Month, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I was almost creating commercial spots, but it was so fascinating, especially when it was more like character-driven stuff, like, you know, Rod Steiger, for example. I wasn't really a classic film buff, and I think it was an advantage because I came to Rod Steiger with a clean slate, and I had to figure out what he was all about and look at his films, but I was really more interested in about Rod Steiger, and so I used to get to create these very poetic, lyrical pieces with coming at it in any way that I found exciting and different and new, and it was so fun because, you know, to kind of figure out the person first and then build, you know, a spot using graphics and visuals and cool music. And it was just really exciting and really fun.
And most of those people are dead. So you get to have seen the arc of the entire career.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you want to put ominous music behind it because they fell off a boat and drowned or something
and
like
I
that,
did,
you can do that with Natalie Wood or whoever is going to be in there. What's the worst writing job you've had? And I'll preface this by saying that David Mamet wrote for Playboy, the letters department, apparently. I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've read on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that would be a kind of an awful job. Repetitive.
Yeah.
But what's been a bad job for you?
I did some work in corporate communications. I won't say for what corporation.
Good.
And I found that writing to be very stifling, formulaic, and difficult because it's more not the truth that you're portraying. It's kind of what they want the truth to be. So I found that very difficult for me as a writer. And it was, you know, even if you tried to have a little fun, usually the corporate heads would say, that's just not us. So that was difficult. Corporate stuff is really hard. It's not me.
What's the worst job that was great preparation for being for later writing?
Gosh, I've been very lucky. More what comes to mind is obit writing in school, in journalism school. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, and that's kind of one of the reasons I took the leap to broadcasting, because I thought if I have to start out as an obit writer at a newspaper, I will lose my mind. Because, you know, again, you're trying to take something to make it interesting, but it was so formulaic that that was, honest to God, a class that made me decide to broaden my sights a little bit, even in university, and not be a strictly journalism major, because I thought, if I have to start a newspaper, and that's mostly where people start, that's not for me.
Well, it's good to have those negative definitions.
Yes.
You know, this is not what I am. Also helps define what you will become later.
Absolutely.
Who's your biggest influence as a writer? Who is either the person you want to be or the person on your nightstand most frequently?
I have stacks and stacks of books on my nightstand. A lot of times I'll have books. I review young adult books, so I have spatterings of those just to kind of, you know, keep current. I guess I would say, you know, I knew very early on that I wanted to be a writer. And I remember the book that, where I closed it, you know, I think I was in fourth grade, and said, yes, I'm going to be a writer. It was Lois Lowry. And it was Summer. It's very depressing. Summer to Die.
Good.
Yes. And then Judy Blume. Mm-hmm. Love Judy Blume. And, you know, I don't think she's the most amazing writer, but she was real to me. Her voice was really real, and that's kind of writing I still love today. John Steinbeck, when I read John Steinbeck when I was a teenager, just loved him. Mm-hmm. So those are some of them. I mean, I have writers as an adult that I feel like are best friends, and when they come out with a new book, I'm the happiest person alive. But and one would be Anne Lamott. I love her. I'm not a huge fan of her fiction, but I think her nonfiction is so amazing and mind-changing, and her voice is so real. Mm-hmm. So I really like her. And so I have many, but, you know, kind of in different stages of my life, people that I gravitate towards. But even trying to think of who I'm reading right now, I have probably 5 or 10 books going at one time. It's pretty scattered and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in today, Kelly Chernofsky. And one more time, the website that people would go to for your literary magazine is at the Thurber House?
Yep, thurberhouse.org. And there's information about the about all our programs, actually, for writing, and especially for teenagers. We have the Young Writer Studio at Thurber House. We meet every other week. Teens bring in their writing. We workshop their writing, give them feedback in a group setting. We're all a community of writers. And then we do craft exercises. We have guest authors, guest writers come in and speak about the craft. And then if they have a submission ready, they can email it to me at Central Ohio Literary Journal at yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with the Flip the Page new literary journal.
Great. Thank you so much.
And keep writing.
I will.